Blog Talk Radio.
When something's wrong with my baby, don't let it go with me.
Constituents. Senate District 19. Okay, so I'm happy about that. Let me take a few minutes first as I wait on you to give me a call here at 657. This is the podcast studio, 383-0944. Facebook friends, feel free to lodge your question or comments via Facebook. Happy to respond to them accordingly. The website to find more information about me and my platform is constituentadvocacy.com. That's constituentadvocacy.com. I encourage you to go there and learn as much as you need to understand how our platform is laid out and how we aim to serve and to represent your best interests in the state senate. So now, let's talk about where we are right now. Perhaps you know that there are three candidates on the ballot for Tennessee Senate District 19. There is Representative Brenda Gilmore, who won the Democratic primary in August the 2nd. She's on the ballot. Then there is a Miss Christina, quote, Chris, end quote, Calloway, who's on the ballot. And yours truly, Reuben Dockery. Now, you'll notice in all those three names, you didn't find Hickory. You didn't find Dickory. But you did hear Dockery, Reuben Dockery, for Senate District 19. That's the only and best choice that we have for the change we desperately need in Senate District 19. 19-year resident. I'm not a 19-year resident. A 31-year resident of Nashville, Senate District 19. Former public school educator, former an officer. Worked in mental health facility, pastoring for the last 22 years now, as well as serving in many capacities as a civic activist and working in the interest of people and forward progress. Okay? But that's who you're voting for. I want to talk about where we are now. You know, early voting ended yesterday on Thursday, November the 1st. And at the completion of that, the polls being closed and the early vote process ending, here's what the count was. There are 98,478 eligible voters in Tennessee Senate District 19, according to the Election Commission. All right? Now, there may be a little few more because after there were some people who registered prior to, or after, I should say, after these numbers originally came out. So there may be a few more, but roughly 98,478. Okay? To date, 36,387, or 37% of the Senate district, has voted early. That is significant. Now, you may have remembered, as I began this podcast and this special conversation with you all, we talked about on our very first episode how over the last three election cycles for this Senate seat, so that's about 12, 18 years or so, the turnout has only been 28%. So we've seen growth. There's something going on that's bringing more voters out. And I think that has to do with the U.S. Senate race, as well as the as involving former mayor and governor of Tennessee, Bill Bredesen, as the Democratic nominee, and Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn, who is running as in the seat to replace Senator Corker. All right, and I believe that also has something to do with the gubernatorial race, which involves now Bill Lee, as well as a Republican candidate, as well as former Mayor Paul Dean, Democratic candidate. Okay? Perhaps it has something to do with this larger turnout. Either way, it's good to see citizens exercising their civic duty, expressing their voice and their rights. All right? got 37% of the votes early. But there's still 62,000, roughly, 91 voters who have yet to cast their vote, or 63%. I want to speak to you tonight, because November 6, 2018, is a very important day for us to choose and to finally put this thing to bed. I want to encourage you not to make the mistake to vote someone in again for office who misses, whether intentionally or not, your interest and your need. My promise to you is that Reuben Dockery will represent you well, be responsive, be accountable, and be effective, as well as open and communicative with you about where we are and what's going on, what's most important. Okay? And if you look at my website, you'll see that we have some measures on there. That, again, the website is constituentadvocacy.com. All right? So I'm asking you humbly and respectfully for your vote. You're listening now, you're listening later. I am asking for your vote. And I'm not just asking you for your vote because I think I deserve to be a state senator. I'm asking you because my life experience the last 25 years have prepared me for this moment and have given me a keen understanding of what's needed for all 192,000 now, according to the latest census estimate, around 300 souls. That's old, young, women, children, all ethnicities. Okay? So we have a very serious task ahead of us. Your task is to vote. My task is to represent you well. All right? That's where we are. The poet William Cullen Bryant, one of his poems, wrote, "Truth crushed the earth shall rise again. The eternal years of God are hers, but error, wounded, wreathes in pain, and dies among his worshippers." What that simply means is those who live in error and continue in error and making mistakes, guess what? They continue in pain and problem and sorrow. They may have fellowship among one another, but they die with them. That perhaps not a literal physical death. Socially, economically, people are struggling. We press the truth down that the fact that we still have babies in our public schools who now there are 21 schools that the state has said cannot meet annual yearly progress as measured by proficiency in reading and math across the curriculum. It was 11 at one point, and it rose to about 15. Now we're at 21. Now, am I blaming the teachers? No. Am I blaming the parents? No. Who are you blaming then, Dr.? I hold the responsibility on those who were elected to care for our education of our children. That's the deliberative body of the Metro School Board. We, you and I, elected them to make sure that there were people and measures in place to ensure that all of our children get the best education. But the truth is, they've fallen short. This is not the first year that they've fallen short. They've done it too many times before already. Okay? And the truth of the matter is, it's now high time for you and I to think about that. Now, that election is not on the ballot right now. The question is, well, what can the senator do? They don't control the school board. No, you do not. You don't control the mayor. Nor do you control the metro council, our local government. However, in that role as a state senator, you have the leverage and influence not only to advance and supervise legislation on the state level as well as allocating resources, but there is a need and responsibility for you to show leadership to the other elected bodies that fall within the purview of Senate District 19. How do you do that, Dockery? Well, you provide monies that come from the state. That's a portion of the local school board's budget, as well as the city council budget or the city's budget. There's an opportunity to work with those vendors, have a vision, a focus. That's what we've missed. We don't need to have anyone in office, including myself, that cannot articulate a clear vision of change. What we've been doing is not working. Economically, we got young people on the snatch and grab. Yes, it's wrong. It's illegal. But there is a cause behind it and a reason. Good leadership recognizes that and taps into those who are in these neighborhoods and communities that can best address that. One of the things is if a man is busy working and providing for himself, he has no time for frolic and foolishness. Hello. Too many young people got time on the street. And this leads to this negative engagement with law enforcement. All of a sudden, law enforcement become the enemy, the big bad boogeyman. These are tragic incidents and terrible incidents and what have you. But we can prevent that, and we need the type of leadership from the how the Senate District or 19 on the state level in the upper chamber to bring that closure. That's the truth. Too many good people, health disparities. And absolutely, we all know that we've got to fix this problem with our health. And the state has been working on it and trying to do some things. Former governor, the leaving governor, Haslam, was trying to work with a couple of people to try to provide resolution. They're just bantering back and forth about the overextending of the federal government things. And listen, at the end of the day, we have people who need health care. Okay? We got to get it right. We've got to get it right. What we don't need, starting the next legislative session, is for your senator in this seat come to the table with their fist up about party bigly, Democrat, Republican, Democrat. Okay? We need somebody that can come in there sensibly and put a clear plan on the table and work to get colleagues to make that law so that we can have health care. Reuben Dockery is your man. 100 grand. Right? And 10. Do so. Can't do it without your help, though. Okay? That's the truth. That's the truth. The other truth is that there are 47 voting precincts. Okay? Not all of them have the same need. But we are seeing how with the rise in crime in certain areas of our Senate district, particularly the core of Nashville, what used to be urban Nashville just 20, 30 years ago, predominantly African-American, now it's transforming itself. We got new residents who are literally in fear and concern, understandably so, because there are other residents who have been here all their life, a generation, feeling displaced. Why? Because there are major economic shifts and changes. There's a tide that's come in. Some people boats are floating, they're happy. Others are sinking because they've had holes in their vessels for a long time. And the very people that we have elected over the last 20 years failed to prepare us, warn us of the impending rising, that what if the current rising tide that is sinking our boats now. Okay? That's what we have to look at. That's the truth. If somebody can show me where I'm wrong, I'll go sit down somewhere. But I'm running because we're in a pickle. We're in a bad state. And we need some change. I am your change agent. I need your help to make this change November 6, 2018. Vote Reuben Dockery. Don't worry about all the other stuff. Vote Miss N, vote this, vote Democrat. Forget all that. Vote Reuben. You be a good Democrat and be good to yourself and vote Reuben Dockery. Be a good Republican. Be good to yourself and vote Reuben Dockery so that we can make the change we need. Do yourself a favor this November. Bring change. Proactive, responsive change. All right? The number is 657-383-0944. Give us a call. we still got another 25 minutes or so. I can accept and entertain your conversation, your question, your comments. Again, call me here in the studio, 657-383-0944. And just if you want to talk with me off air after the show, the number for you to reach me is 615-478-4233. That's my campaign number, 615-478-4233. However, if you choose to call tonight, and have dialogue with us, please do so. I ask you to do so. Call this number in the studio, in the podcast studio, 657-383-0944. Let's look and see if we got anybody on Facebook that's responding to us. Not just yet. So with that being said, I hope that you understand now in better context where we are and what it is that we're trying to advance, because we're in a tight spot. Okay? And without you and your help, we're going to continue to have a problem. You understand what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, we cannot afford to continue to go backwards. But it's important that we are realistic about where we are. And get ourselves in a position to have forward progress. All right. Now I'm still working on. Look like we're having a little issue with our Facebook here, but that's okay. That's okay. If you're still following us live, you can go ahead and shoot us a question, a comment there. We're still here. Let me keep the conversation going while you do that, and we'll see. Well, yeah, okay. I think we're still good. Still good. All right. This is our last episode. This is Reuben Dockery. You're a 2018 candidate for Tennessee Senate District 19, and we've been talking about where we are coming into 4 days now of November the 6th. I'd like your support as we strive to move our Senate district forward. Okay? Without you, we can't do it. So I need your help. All right? Now, let's talk a little bit about some of the things, review some of the things that we have on the platform. How about that? On the website, constituentadvocacy.com, you'd find my platform under candidate platform. And a link beneath that is podcast presentations. I've taken the time, because there are three prongs to my campaign, voter education, voter organization, and voter participation. I've taken the time to put together some interactive, informative videos for your consideration. And there you will find four about 30 to 40 minute videos explaining things like what is Senate District 19, what are the boundaries of the Senate District, what is the role of the senators, what should you expect from the Senate, things like what factors into low voter turnout. Other issues like what is it that I am as a candidate proposing to improve the condition socioeconomically for our Senate district. All of those type of things that you'll be able to find on those four videos. And there are also PDF files that you can open up and read well for your understanding. But specifically under the platform, we're looking at a four-year district-wide education course. Okay? And in that regard, I shared this with some people out on the campaign trail. We're looking to bring legislative support and resources to foster the planting of 21st century community learning centers with a focus on family literacy. Okay, this is a major Senate district-wide initiative, family literacy, academic enrichment incentives. Now, the state does have already, in under the Department of Education, a grant process or opportunity for 21st century community learning centers. But I can tell you from personal experience, there are barriers to small mom-pop nonprofits and even grassroots organizations being able to benefit from them, who know how to best not only provide the academic tutoring or tutorial services, but as well address the emotional issues that are barriers to learning. Okay? And oftentimes these things are present within neighborhoods or within your local boarding precinct. Okay? So in addition to our educational focus, we have a economic empowerment zone that I endeavor to bring. And I talked about how in 1995, the federal government had an economic empowerment zone, as it was called. It no longer exists, as I understand it, and phased out. But a similar model is what I'd like to bring to Senate District 19. There's a specific focus to bring 250 new business startups, okay, entrepreneurial opportunities, with a focus on homeless veterans, as well as young men who are in the streets trying to find a living, oftentimes getting caught up in illegal activities. Having dealt with this as a pastor, as a nonprofit executive, as well as a community advocate and a candidate, I understand the nature of the problem there. We want to address it. So how do you do that? Well, the tax plan of 2017, the Opportunity Act, has incentives for capitalist investors, or venture capitalists, I should say, to invest their funds in new business startups for minorities that will cover these veterans and many of these young people who are prone to go to jail or get caught up for illegal activities. All right? Now, we don't just give money out, so there's a need to partner with well-prepared nonprofit organizations that can provide the soft skill training and the mentor social discipline to maintain a business, start a business and maintain one, to foster a business plan. And these venture capitalists or an established business will partner or coach, if you will, these individuals, the entrepreneurs, over a 2 to 3 year period to ensure that they have success. My understanding that a new business within the first 3 to 5 years is critical to their success long term. So this is the idea behind it. So these are the type of things that we want to bring as an economic empowerment. I believe that will reduce crime significantly. Okay? And it will provide young people with proper management of their time so they don't have time to have a negative engagement with police and others. All right? Then we're looking at, we'll check back to see if someone is either posted on Facebook or is called in just a second. Then we're looking at a district-wide health and wellness initiative. I had a conversation with a mother or a lady who lost her sister to an ailment, to a disease, and I think it was cancer, as a matter of fact. And they were celebrating her life, which was a great thing. And I promised her that one of the things I would look at and work hard to do is to foster a greater health awareness in our Senate district, particularly in certain voting precincts where by evidence of health department records and so forth and reports, you have major issues that prevent young people from learning in school. It impedes time on task because children are out of school. And also STDs and other unhealthy type behaviors are concerns that we will look at. And what we want to do is to build a community-wide basis for healthy living, diet and whole nine yards. Unfortunately, there appear to be undiagnosed or unaddressed mental issues, mental health issues as well. And this all factors into our healthcare plan. It's our time to get it taken care of. And I'm looking forward to going into the Senate and working with colleagues in the Senate as well as House of Representatives to find something to get that done. As I said earlier, I don't want to start with the fight over what party you are. That doesn't make sense to me. We got people whose lives are in the balance, okay, old and young, and we need to address that. All right. Public safety focus. Now, I know that there is on the ballot now an Amendment 1, and there's a pro and con. There's two sides to that, all right? I'm going to say what's most important, beloved, is that if you or your loved one were assaulted or harmed, we have a police force in place to maintain public safety and order. Okay? Now, the issue, as I understand it, for those who want accountability and oversight, they believe that there's no accountability and the police need to be supervised. Well, I don't know if most people know about this, but there are at least four levels of supervision that are in place. And the question is, if you believe that there's police are not being supervised, do you understand, or can it be proven that these four levels of supervision are not working? Well, what are those levels, just briefly? The United States Department of Justice, okay, has a conduct of law agency. And specifically, this section works to protect the rights of people who interact with state or local police or sheriffs. Okay? If they find that these agencies are out of order or violating their rights, they step in to hold them accountable. Okay? In addition to that, you have Section 242, Title 18 in the Constitution or U.S. law, which makes it a crime for a person acting under what's called the color of law, using the authority of police or any other agency, to willfully deprive a person of a right, privilege that is protected by the United States Constitution. That's against the law. That's an accountability measure. You can demonstrate that that is being done using due process. Now, you can't just make the claim that it's done throughout due process. There's a process. Then you have the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, which supervises police, particularly police shootings or reports of those type of things, police-involved shootings, I should say. Okay? They are to properly investigate to make sure things are on the up and up. Then lastly, the Metro Police Department have their own internal processes to hold officers accountable. These things are not well documented. Now, I'm not sure if I heard an articulable argument that those four levels have not been properly met. But nonetheless, I applaud the citizens for identifying the problem and not tearing up their city, but using the civic process to address their problem. I applaud them. Okay? That's a good thing. Anytime we can have that, that is a good thing. So I'm glad to see that. All right? In addition to that, we are looking to use federal police, community policing opportunities to help communities understand how to better police ourselves. And when you do that, you can help reduce the presence of law enforcement in your neighborhood, in your community, because there won't be incidents of crime, robberies, and homicides, and assaults, and things of that nature. Okay? That's how that works. So those are some of the things that we want to do using the leadership have impact all the way down to your local voting precincts. With that, we want to build community or precinct governance council models, which are smaller bodies within your immediate neighborhood or your neighborhood association, okay, that identifies an agenda educationally, public safety, health, economic development, and other things of concern that you will hold me as your senator accountable to, as well as your state representative, whoever that is. You will hold your governor accountable to, your council person accountable, your mayor accountable to. Okay? Incidentally, I don't know if you know it, but come 19, you have a whole nother slew of elections coming up. And it will be time then for another electoral process. Okay? So, with that being said, those are the key things that you'll find on the website as the platform for Reuben Dockery, your state senator. Okay? Let me just read from this last bullet point. Second paragraph, Tennessee Senate District 19 Compact. My mantra continues to be E pluribus unum. From 21 council districts exists Tennessee Senate District 19, 47 voting precincts. This message is consistent. The residents that make up all 47 voting precincts within the district. My personal position theme is advocate for the people and not merely a politician. That's not something I aspire to be as a politician, but an advocate for you, the people. Please know that your concerns are worth my time and my energy. Over the last 10 years, the urban core of Nashville, Davidson County, has been largely gentrified. It's where you take an area that historically was impoverished, downtrodden, and did not have economic growth and spurt, and you invest money into it with these investors and whatnot, and you develop it up. That's a good thing, but the negative aspect of it is that those who are unprepared get run out of that neighborhood they grew up in for decades, generations, and they become displaced. East, South, and West Nashville all are fully now just about changed. Parts of North Nashville are currently, Bordeaux in particular, under new housing, economic, and social transformation. It is estimated that 89 people, at one time it was at least anyway, are relocating to Nashville each day. That's a good thing. Okay? The problem is when they get here, the unintended effect is that you move other people out. Okay? I'm not saying that the people that are coming for job opportunities for a new way of life, I'm not blaming them at all. But if you go anywhere, any of us will do that. Okay? But the policies that were voted in by people we voted for were set up in such a way that it's done egregiously and it unfairly pushes people out. So there's no plan for affordable housing. And now the waiting list, as I understand, for things like Section 8 is extremely large, long, okay? And it's difficult to find those. Those people that use their property for Section 8 now are selling them to developers. Now the city is struggling trying to find out where to put those who qualify for Section 8 because of the decision to use resources and create policies. Change how those resources are used by government officials. That's just where we are. Okay? And we have to relook at this thing. Some of the concerns that I've heard raised over the years and most recently are related to affordable housing. Okay? Increased concerns of public safety, the schools, the issues that we talked about earlier, as well as economic disparity. We can do it. I believe we have the wherewithal to get this done, to fix this. We need the right leadership tentative comeback that I share with you. All right? Preamble of the 19th Senatorial District of Tennessee. We the people of the 19th Senatorial District of Tennessee, in order to form a more perfect senatorial district, ensure justice, promote public harmony, provide for common protection, promote general interests, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our children, do ordain and consent to the common of the electorate of Tennessee Senate District 19. These are things I'm convinced we can do together. Now, our time is just about up. But I want to thank you, those of you who followed us, those of you who have called in or shared your comments via Facebook. I want to thank you for doing so, being a part of this very important educational, voter educational process. This will be our last episode. And but perhaps once we're elected, with your help on November 6th, 2018, when you vote Reuben Dockery in, I want you to know now, and I told you, there are about some 62,000 of you all who still have yet to vote. Vote Reuben Dockery. Simple. When you go to the ballot, you'll see those three names, but there's only one name you need to look for. That's Reuben Dockery. Got a one-shot deal, okay? Either win or to lose. If you want to win, you got to vote Reuben Dockery. I want to thank you again for taking the time, those of you that are following us. Thank those of you who voted already. 38,370, 37% of exercising your civic duty. And thank all of you in advance. This is Reuben Dockery, your 2018 candidate for Tennessee Senate District 19. We appreciate you, and we look forward very much to representing you in the Tennessee State Senate, Upper Chamber, Senate District 19. And again, thank you, and we will look forward to seeing you at the polls on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. That's 4 days now, as you cast your vote for Reuben Dockery, Tennessee Senate District 19. Until then, be blessed.